From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. We're glad you've decided to join us for today's program. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelsch inviting you to stay tuned for a message from the Word of God, some Christ-honoring sacred music, and the hot topic of the day. As Dr. Cairns studies the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, he is using the miracle of Christ walking on the water to demonstrate vital lessons about the Lord and his dealings with his people. We may ask, why did Christ appear to be passing by the disciples as they struggled in the storm? The answer is a most blessed truth. Before coming to the message, however, Dr. Cairns stresses another important truth in today's hot topic. Salvation is by grace alone, not by personal merit.
One of the great distinguishing marks of the Protestant Reformation was its insistence on what are now called the five solas. These go to the very heart of Christianity and show just how far the Church of Rome had departed from the faith of the gospel, as she indeed continues to do. These five solas are as follows. Sola Scriptura. Scripture alone is the authoritative revelation of God, the sole judge and arbiter in all matters of faith and practice. Sola gratia, salvation is by grace alone, apart from human merit. Sola fide, salvation by free grace is received by faith alone, without works. Solo Christo, salvation is found in Christ alone. Soli Deo gloria, salvation is all for the glory of God alone. Today we consider sola gratia, by grace alone. While professing to proclaim the necessity of grace for salvation, Rome taught and still teaches that human merit plays an essential role in it. In the Gospel according to Rome, there are two kinds of human merit. First, she speaks of the merit of congruity. The merit of congruity is what the good works of the unregenerate deserve from God. Rome has decreed that it is congruous or fitting that God should reward the good dispositions or actions that the unregenerate produce without the aid of divine grace. This reward that it is fitting for God to bestow is the infusion of grace into the heart. In other words, grace is given because it is deserved. The second kind of merit Rome teaches is the merit of condignity, by which she means the reward that the good works of the regenerate, produced with the aid of divine grace, properly deserve. Rome's plan of salvation, therefore, lays great stress on the role of human merit in gaining salvation. Against all this, the Protestant reformers raised a strong biblical argument that salvation in all its parts is all of grace. It was grace that planned the whole way of salvation. It was grace that sent God's Son into the world to save sinners, not to help them save themselves. It was grace that paid the full price of our salvation in the obedience unto death of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is grace that regenerates a sinner who is naturally dead in his sins. It is grace that justifies him, pardons all his sin, and accepts him as righteous in God's sight on the ground of Christ's imputed righteousness. The only merit in our salvation is Christ's merit. In God's gracious plan of salvation, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, who knew no righteousness, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We need to be clear in this age of ecumenical dialogue with Rome, when even evangelicals are proposing that we recognize Roman Catholic teaching as Christian and acceptable. Rome's theology is a fundamental denial of the most essential features of God's way of salvation. It strikes at the all-sufficiency of Christ's meritorious work for us, and by introducing human merit, it effectively shuts sinners off from receiving God's free salvation. Not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. This is God's word, but it's not Rome's word. Hers is a fundamentally false gospel. So, sola gratia, by grace alone, is as important today as ever before. Let us hold fast to it. Our souls depend upon it.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds the guilt of our sin. Yonder on Calvary, God's Lamb outpoured blood for our cleansing and peace within.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you have tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We've been particularly encouraged by the response to the program content and the program format. So if you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then we give you our thanks for taking time to do so. And if you haven't yet done so, we'd be delighted to hear from you. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular postal mail. You may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. As you can see, it's relatively easy to contact us. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Please don't forget the word radio. That's ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you and that you'll join us on our website this week.
And the Lord keeps us back from things we're not even aware of. Dangers we have never even conceived. Pitfalls we have never seen, foreseen, or even if we had looked behind us, we wouldn't even have the hindsight to see them. And yet, He is directing our paths. Sometimes He leads us in ways that are so difficult we can't understand. But the reality is, He's doing this in order to save us from something a whole lot worse. Because in this storm, He's going to do something great. And that's true of every storm of life. And the storm only gets bad when you fly in the face of God. When you make the storm forget that this is the Lord directing and this is the Lord overruling and this is the Lord actually showing His love and His protection and He's molding my life in a way that I don't understand, but faith tells me it's keeping me back from something far worse. When you forget that and you fly in the face of God and you say, "Why do you do this?" That's when the storm can damage you. It's not the storm that damages you from the outside. It's the storm of unbelief and bitterness that you create on the inside. That's what does the damage. Because in the storm, the Lord Jesus intends to teach His disciples about Himself. He had shown them Himself, had He not, in the feeding of the 5,000, but they didn't consider it. So now He brings them to a new situation where they will consider. He shows them Himself and shows them what they had missed, even in the miracle and the mercies that He'd already introduced them to. And that's just like the Savior. In every storm, there is a new sight of Christ. Amid the waves of affliction, there is a new experience of Christ that will actually bring us to worship. I've mentioned this before, but I'll do it again because John Douglas was here just last week. As I said, John and Joan and I go back a long time. I was preaching in his pulpit. As a student minister, I was there in his pulpit in Port of Ogie. On the Sunday in 1960. We got a phone call to say that his wife Margaret had died. Was it 2 days after the birth of their little girl? For a young man in his early 20s, that was a shattering blow. In the newspaper, he inserted the notice of Margaret's death. And to that notice, he added a verse of Scripture, which to some stupid carnal wretches. Sounded unfeeling, but that I knew came out of dark, long hours of seeking the face of God. And that verse said, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. That was not lightly written. I will never forget the day of that funeral. And again, I saw some other stupid people walk up to that open grave and look down upon that casket and take that young man's hand to try to preach him a sermon. As I say, John and I were best friends. I shook his hand very briefly, no more than a second or two, and marched on. For the truth is, he saw nothing and he heard nothing. But he had met with God. And in that awful storm, he had a new sight of Christ and a new understanding of sovereign grace and wisdom. And God proved it right. Until that moment, John Douglas was a supremely able and godly young man. From that moment, he was a spiritual giant, a preacher anointed with the power of God, whose preaching melted hearts and won hundreds upon hundreds for Christ. There's a new sight of Christ in every storm. There's a new experience of grace in every affliction. And I want you to see this. The waters were bidding to swallow up the disciples. Jesus walked on top of the waters. Now let me make this very clear. This is history, not myth. All the modernistic garbage that tries to explain away this miracle is so ridiculous as to make you laugh. I remember we had a modernist in Belfast, a very learned idiot, who told us Jesus didn't really walk in the waters. He was paddling by the seashore. And the reality is that in the mistiness, the disciples thought he was walking in the waters. First of all, if the lunatic had ever gone to the Sea of Galilee, you'll find you don't just paddle by the seashore. Anybody who's ever been there will tell you that. If you even want to go swimming, you've got to find some place that's either man-made or has a little natural shelf to let you do it, and they have to rope it off. If you take another step, you'll be dead. For you'll be engulfed in a deep hole. It's not a place for paddling along the seashore. It's not Myrtle Beach Strand. Furthermore, the idea of these big brawny seamen within a few feet of the shore still trying to row their way out of trouble, you know, and crying out for fear, the whole thing is crazy. This happened as the Bible says it happened. It's history. But remember, it's history with a message. And I want you to see this. What was bidding to engulf the disciples, Jesus put under his feet. That's a picture I want you to take with you. The things that you think will engulf you, they don't pose him any problem whatsoever. The things that worry us do not furrow the brow of the Eternal. There are no wrinkles in the brow of God. He's not worried. And while it's true that things may engulf us, He has them under His feet. And I want you to see this. That were we, like Peter, will cry out to Him, He'll enable us to put them under our feet. Now there'll come a time when He'll cause a great calm. But while we're still in the storm, He can enable us to walk upon the waves. He did it for Peter, and He can do it for us. I mentioned earlier the phenomenal little thing that he, Mark 6:48 says, and is walking to do all this, he would have passed them by. I stopped and I pondered that. And I do what every good preacher does when he runs into a blockage and he doesn't understand something. I'll go and see what the experts say. And then I find what every good preacher finds when he goes to see what the experts say. They say a whole lot about things I don't need them to say anything about, but what I need them to say about, they all say nothing. Every preacher I've ever met has complained about that. So why did he go to pass them by? Most commentators and preachers ignore it. Those who notice it say he did it for the same reason that the angel had in mind when he wrestled with Jacob. And he said, let me go, as if he wanted to go on. Or the same reason that the risen Christ had on the road to Emmaus. He made as if he would go forward. It was to stimulate their faith so that they would cry out to him to stay. Now, there's no doubt that is true in those instances. But you see, it doesn't work here. Because the fact is, they didn't cry out for Christ. They didn't even cry out to what they thought was a spirit. They simply yelped in fear because they thought they had seen a spirit. So why did he make as if to go past them? I thought for a moment perhaps it was he was going to go past them, to go before them, to make a way, to pass through. That may be. But you know, I think the most obvious thing is this, was to deliver them from the superstition of the age into which they had fallen. Remember, the Lord Jesus was not only dealing for the moment, He was preparing these men to go out into the big wide world where they were going to face a supposedly supernatural agent. They were going to face even cases of demonism. They were going to face all the things that their own superstitious natures would grasp as items to cause fear. And He was freeing them from these things. You see, in the East, belief in spirits that could invade human life at will was very widespread. In many parts of the East, they had a notion of a class of spiritual beings that were between angels and men, and they could assume the form of men. They could even marry, and after hundreds of years they could even die, but they had all sorts of powers, both good and evil. This was the thought. People were always ready to see spirits. So the charismatics have a long lineage. You've met these people. You drop a tumbler of water. Oh, there's a devil in this house. Now, there might be somebody with a shaky hand, but it doesn't say it's a devil. I don't want to get into demonology today. I believe that there are malignant powers of hell at work in the world. But I think that we have charismatic preachers running around scaring people with the devil, the big bogeyman of Satan, about things that Satan's not a wee bit interested in, while all the time they never talk about the things that he really is doing. The Bible tells you what those things are. Seducing spirits. What do? They lead to false doctrine. They produce another gospel. They divert from Christ. They corrupt the pure revelation of grace. They damn souls by this. But these things hardly get mentioned. We'll not go into all that this morning. But these disciples, thinking they saw a spirit, cried out. Jesus said, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. I want you to see this very carefully. You're in the storm. You think you're going to see the devil. But the one that's waiting for you, it's not the devil, it is your Savior. That's what he's saying. I'm here. I'll never forsake you. I'll never leave you. I'm here. Be of good cheer and don't be afraid.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.